Since 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has been committed to supporting our nation's first responders and veterans, heroes who put their lives on the line for our communities and our country. Heroes like U.S. Army Major Jonathan Turnbull. Major Turnbull sustained devastating injuries at the hands of an ISIS suicide bomber. The complete loss of his left eye, a puncture to his right eye, he needed more than 20 surgeries and countless hours of rehabilitation. Tunnel to Towers paid off his mortgage and gave him a specially adapted smart home designed for his needs. He moves around his home more easily now. His home also gives him hope. With help from people like you, the foundation supports families like the Turnbulls. Join Tunnel to Towers in supporting America's heroes, our nation's catastrophically injured veterans and first responders, homeless veterans, Gold Star families, and the families of fallen first responders. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org. 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to their programs.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
If you are an accredited investor, U.S. oil and gas should be part of your investment portfolio. Visit LabradorEnergy.com. Beyond the possibility to invest in a sector that historically delivers sound returns, when you invest with Labrador Energy, you may be able to structure your investment to offset active or passive income. According to many sources, U.S. oil and gas drilling remains one of the best tax-advantaged income investments available. Visit LabradorEnergy.com. You may be able to reduce your tax liability while investing in a sector that has historically delivered sound returns. Learn more at LabradorEnergy.com today.
Offer for accredited investors only. Past performance is no indication of future results. Investing involves risk. Consult your legal, tax, and financial advisors and read the prospectus before making any investment decisions. Visit LabradorEnergy.com for the prospectus and more information.
This is Buck's First Thoughts, the news you need to get through your day in 45 minutes. Make sure you subscribe on the iHeart app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A goodbye. We love you. We will be back in some form. And again, I want to just in leaving, I want to thank our Vice President, Mike Pence, and Karen. I want to thank Congress because we really worked well with Congress, at least certain elements of Congress. But we really did. We've gotten so much done that nobody thought would be possible. But I do want to thank Congress. And I want to thank all of the great people of Washington, D.C., all of the people that we worked with to put this miracle together. So have a good life. We will see you soon. Thank you. Thank you very much.
It is the end of an era and the beginning of a new one. Donald Trump, no longer president of the United States. Joe Biden, sworn in, number 46. Get ready for what this means. You should brace now for the Democrat left backlash. It has been building up for 4 years. I wish I could tell you that I thought this moment in time would be one of national unity, of coming together, of sanity back in government. But you wouldn't even believe that if somebody said it to you. Do you think that Trump derangement syndrome just goes away now that Trump is no longer president? Now it's just Democrat derangement syndrome. Now this is settling scores. It's silencing opposing voices. It is crushing dissent. That's what they're really planning here. That's really the idea behind all of this. They have no interest in a third way. They have no interest in finding a triangulation, a middle ground, a halfway mark. No, they have control of the House, of the Senate, and of the presidency. And this means that we are now living in a country that's going to feel very different for at least some time. We have to be prepared for what this means for our ability to even speak out against this. You are now going to have 95% of the journalistic establishment completely in the pocket of a presidential administration. They warned us for 4 years. They screamed and cried. about tyranny from Trump when every journalist who opposed him got richer, more famous, more time on TV, which is what they really want, those three things. Every journalist who spoke out against him was advancing their careers. And we were supposed to think that somehow Trump, with so much of the establishment and so much of the swamp arrayed against him, was going to seize control, authoritarian power forever. That's what they told us. But that didn't happen, did it? No, there was no seizure of power. There was just the peaceful transition that we've seen. And now we have a Joe Biden administration that is going to have no pushback from the people whose jobs are supposed to be speaking truth to power. Dissent is no longer patriotic. You can be assured of that. In fact, if you disagree with the Biden administration, you will be called things like a COVID denier. You'll be called a white supremacist, a racist, a mask denier, an insurrectionist, even. They'll throw everything they can at you, and you have to be prepared for that. This is now the future of this country. This is where we are. I'm happy to hear that President Trump is planning to continue to spread the message and in some ways may even grow even more powerful in a media sense than he has been up to this point. Depends on what choices he makes. Here he is saying he's always going to be in the fight for us. Play five.
I will always fight for you. I will be watching. I will be listening. And I will tell you that the future of this country has never been better. I wish the new administration great luck and great success. I think they'll have great success. They have the foundation to do something really spectacular. And again, we put it in a position like it's never been before, despite the worst plague to hit since, I guess you'd say, 1917, over 100 years ago. And despite that, the things that we've done have been just incredible. And I couldn't have done it without you.
There will be no honeymoon between Trump supporters and this Biden administration. It will not exist. They won't allow it to. You've already been told the price of your freedoms, the price of your rights is submit or face the consequences. Submit or be deplatformed, be boycotted, have your business destroyed, your reputation ruined. We are all now supposed to think that what? Joe Biden, this almost 80-year-old middling mediocrity from Delaware, is really going to be the guy that turns the whole country around? You look at the initial things that are being done here, the orders that he's putting out, and it's obviously meant to erase what Trump had done as quickly as possible. So that's the problem with executive orders. They're only as good as long as that's the executive you've got. But I'm much more concerned about a culture now that has at its core, a political culture that has at its core, not only are Trump supporters out of power and to be disdained, but they're enemies of the state. That's what the rhetoric in recent days has been. Trump supporters, Trump voters. I'm not talking about a few specific radicals or a few specific crazies who have done bad and illegal things. And as we know, they exist on both sides of the aisle. And there's been a whole lot more of that from the left than there has been from the right in the last 4 years. But they will not view it that way, of course. They will not agree with us that the left poses now a true threat of authoritarianism. Instead, what are they going to do? They're going to leverage the apparatus of the state to make sure that we can't even discuss what a not up for the job, cognitively declining absurdity Joe Biden is. And if you even bring this up, they're going to say that you're basically the equivalent of somebody who wants to overthrow the United States government. The way that they have approached this, the spite, you'll notice there's not a lot of happiness among Democrats. Here and there, you may see some celebration. I know today there's pomp and circumstance. But what you're really seeing is a relief that they have that they can finally unleash their rage. The Democrat mindset now, instead of being all happy and talking about what a great future we're all going to have now, although the media is going to do some of that, to be sure, but the overwhelming feeling that they seem to be showing all the rest of us is like a dog that has been on a leash and in a cage that is now let loose to go and bite whomever. They are angry about what has happened for the last 4 years. They are angry about all the terrible things that Trump did. And I wish we hadn't had the last 3 months we had of the Trump presidency, because it has added a lot of fuel to the fire. It has made things much more difficult, at least in the short term, to continue on and support a MAGA agenda. I don't even know if that term will really be used anymore. People are talking about Trumpism without Trump. They're talking about who the future of the party may be. I don't believe that's where the conversation would be if we had not gone through the last 3 months the way that we had. Just remember this. At the end of the day, you are what you do and what you stand for. And that doesn't change because of who the president is. It doesn't change because the Democrats managed to squeak out a victory in the Senate or maintain their control under Nancy Pelosi in the House. They can't change who you are, what you stand for, or what you do. So just stick to your principles, be patriots, support those who share your values and care about the country in the way that you do, and be prepared for what's coming. This is not going to be pleasant. I would be lying to you if I said otherwise. The Democrats are going to settle scores. They're going to make examples. They are going to unleash the wokeness on all of us. But we have been through worse, and we will get to better times. Do not forget that today. And just when you can, think back to those moments in 2018 and 2019 when I would tell listeners of this show, this is about as good as it's going to get in this country. Enjoy it. I hope you savored those moments, because now we're on the other side of the equation. It's time to get ready. Shields high.
This is the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Follow Buck on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
74 million Americans ought not to be slandered based on the action of a couple thousand who participated in a violent mob at the Capitol 2 weeks ago. And because a violent mob attacked the Capitol 2 weeks ago, that doesn't mean that they should have their views censored. It doesn't mean they should be at risk of losing their job or having their business boycotted, losing their slots in high schools or colleges that choose selectively. It doesn't mean that they should have to pay higher taxes or open their borders or defund their police. That is crazy, and it is a complete non sequitur. But the Democrats realize that that agenda is unpopular, but they also have all the other commanding heights of our society, from the media to education to entertainment, in their corner. What those people need, what those 74 million people who voted for the president and voted for Republicans need, are Republicans and conservatives in the Congress, in the state legislatures, to stand up for their rights. And I promise you, I will do that.
Let's hope so. It's going to be on all of us now. That's what I think people are recognizing today. Trump is not going to swoop in and save us from the insane leftist stuff. Trump is not going to be the one who's just setting the national news agenda day in and day out. He won't be able to slap down the fake news with one tweet. Now it's on all of us. Sure, he'll have a voice and continue to have a lot of people who support him, but it's going to be different now. You know that. I know that. And we are now, as a movement of conservatives, we are now on our own, effectively. I mean, we could come together, but I'm saying that we don't have a leader of the Republican Party at the current moment. We just have to continue to push and do everything that we can to hold back the torrent of madness that I think is going to descend upon the country. Remember, it's not only Trump derangement syndrome that we have to be aware of. It's also a year unlike any other in my lifetime, and certainly in living memory, where we've gone through a global pandemic. People are angry. I'll even tell you, I'm more short-tempered than I have been in a long time, just because being in a very blue city in a very blue state over what's happened the last 12 months has really shown that you will suffer if you let the authoritarian left run your life. You will suffer if they are in charge. And a lot of people, even if they like those policies, have recognized that we've just been through a miserable year with 400,000 COVID deaths, endless lockdowns, all this shifting advice and mandates about mitigation measures, all this stuff. It's a lot of anger out there. I wish I could say that the Democrat push would be for one of prosperity and just joy at what is their newfound power now. But I really do believe that vengeance is going to be much higher up on the mind of a lot of the political operatives, the senior administration officials. I hope I'm wrong. You know, there are some things where I can tell you straight up, my fondest wish is that what I'm telling you turns out to be entirely untrue, that Democrats are the bigger men. So are we even allowed to say are the bigger men? Are the bigger non-gender specific, non-binary, gender non-specific people the bigger, that they're the bigger Homo sapiens? Is that what we're allowed to, what are we supposed to say? Get ready for a lot of that. Language policing, a lot of checking in on the loyalty of government officials, and also asking more and more questions about who you voted for at whatever company you work for. Because it's not that you were a Republican and voted for Donald Trump. It's, wait, you supported the insurrectionist? Maybe you need to go talk to HR. Wait, you are a company that that advertises on Fox News or a conservative network of some kind? Maybe you need to be threatened with a boycott. You'll notice this didn't happen in 2016 when Trump came into office. It was, all right, we got an agenda. Let's go after it. Let's do some things. Let's cut some taxes, get some executive orders going. But it wasn't a purge. Nobody really thought that Democrats were going to lose their livelihoods, their businesses, their freedoms. The First Amendment is under greater assault now than it has been in my lifetime. There are very intelligent people, very serious observers of American life who are writing about a new war on terror against conservatives in this country and the expansion of the police state to encompass what is clearly not already criminal activity. Why would they be talking about this? Why would they be saying we need to expand surveillance? We need to look at legislation to address it. Address what exactly? Everything that happened at the Capitol Hill riot that should not have happened was already very illegal, and people are facing very long criminal sentences for it. So what exactly has to be addressed? You'll see. You'll see who's in charge. You'll see how the deep state now rises to the surface. It's been operating somewhat in the shadows for the last 4 years, but all of a sudden, now the people that are going to be calling the shots will be folks at the CIA and the FBI and the EPA and you name it, who think that climate change is an existential threat. And if you don't sign on to that, there's something wrong with you. Oh, you can't be trusted. You don't believe that any public policy that we think is necessary to address the growing threat of climate change is inherently justified. You're not down with that. I don't think we can trust you anymore. What's so fascinating, of course, is that the left has created this revisionist history. They always talk about McCarthyism. They forget that there were, in fact, communist penetrations of the government, and they were all Democrats, just so you know. It was the Democrats that the communists found their fellow travelers in. It was not staunch, patriotic right-wingers. That was not how that happened. But they talk about it as though this was all just a fraud. This was all based in lies, when in truth there were communist penetrations, including at a very high level, Soviet penetrations of the United States government. And now they're going to do the great conservative scare, if you will, right? Instead of a red scare, the MAGA scare. They're going to look to find ways to get rid of it, because it was also the Trump culture. It was also those moments where all of a sudden people felt like they had a hat to wear, a slogan to chant, and people around them who shared their beliefs and approached politics with some joy. If anything, That's one of the most powerful legacies of the 4 years of Trump in office. But Democrats want to get rid of all of that now. They want to make America feel shameful for wanting to make America great.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from my this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Join the conversation and message Buck on Facebook, Instagram, or email teambuck@iheartmedia.com. He may read it on the show.
The Trump presidency may be drawing to a close, but the dysfunction, the corruption, the authoritarianism, and the moral rot Trump exposed within the GOP and in our system will remain, and we can't just let it go. We got to fix it. We have to hold accountable the people responsible for it from the top all the way down. Otherwise, this 4-year-long nightmare we've all lived through could very well happen again.
Don't you think that if he pardons himself, Sonny, that admits that he's guilty, and then when the impeachment in the Senate comes up, what are they supposed to do with that? They have to convict him. He himself is saying, I'm guilty.
Absolutely, absolutely. But his defense, I think, is going to be, well, this is a witch hunt. This is a witch hunt against me. So, of course, I have to try to, pardon myself because everyone's out against me. And guess what? 74 million people are going to believe that because they've been brainwashed, Joy. I really believe that they have been brainwashed by this misinformation campaign over the past 4 years. Mm-hmm.
Can't you feel all the healing and the unity? Oh, these Democrats, they want to let bygones be bygones, don't they? They want to just be friends now. They want to get along and everything's going to be just fine. Not so much. The idea that they're going to hold people accountable, they're really sticking to this one, aren't they? And I think they're going to try. That just means vindictiveness. It means find your political enemies and make their lives difficult, make them miserable. Do whatever you have to do to punish them for wrongthink. Remember, they're saying Trump is the authoritarian. They've had a peaceful transfer of power. Republicans are saying, okay, Joe Biden's the president. We're not doing the Russia stole the election thing. That's what they did for 4 years. Republicans now have said, all right, you know, Electoral College certified. It's done. It's over with. I know there was the riot at Capitol Hill and it was awful. And we see now just how much the left is using that awful incident to try to bash all Trump supporters. But Now we're where they said they wanted to be, with the Democrats in charge of everything, basically. And sure enough, instead of saying, we're just going to show you guys what good governance looks like, it's let's go find people who need to be punished. Let's blacklist them from jobs. Let's prevent them from being able to speak online. I mean, the social media and the tech purge, I think, is only going to get worse, because now they've got cover from the federal government. Now they've got people at the very top of the government hierarchy who are going to say, yeah, that's how the First Amendment works. Crush people that you don't like. Great. Oh, I'm sorry. Companies can do whatever they want, they say, for this. But go bake that cake and write on it whatever the person who wants the cake tells you to write on it. You have to do that. If you have to write there is no God, God is false, you have to write that on a birthday cake. You better do that or else. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, that's a first. Oh, wait, what? Oh, companies or private individuals can't do whatever they want in their business, it turns out. Isn't that interesting? It's not quite that clear. The expansion of the term insurrection now to include just saying things that the Democrats don't like, this will be abused. They're doing this for a reason. It's not just some catharsis because they have all this pent up, just this bile. They're overflowing with it after 4 years of Trump. They can't help themselves. I mean, Sonny Hostin there on The View saying Trump supporters have been brainwashed. Democrats just voted for Joe Biden to be president. I don't care that he is president. He's a loser. We all know it. This is not an impressive person. This is not a person with leadership skills. This is a guy who just showed up and did what he had to do to play the system and contribute very little for a very long time. But they could make him president. Because he wasn't what the Democrat Party really is, don't you see? The whole thing is a head fake. Joe Biden isn't really symbolic of what the Democrat Party is all about now. He's not woke. He's not leftist. He's not radical. But he's also not really anything. So he'll do whatever the woke leftists want him to, where and when he can. And he gives the corporations less anxiety, because big tech and big companies are going to be just fine under a Biden presidency. Oh, here, Amazon, Google, you know, if you're somebody that's, you know, that's a winning proposition, I'm sure, if you've got investments in some of these major companies out there under a Biden presidency, they're going to do just fine. Small business has been decimated by the pandemic and the lockdowns that Democrats have largely pushed, and it's not going to come back. Because small business is too autonomous. There's too much liberty involved in somebody running their own commercial venture, providing products or services to a public that wants them in a lawful and productive fashion. They want mega corporations that can have D&I specialists on every floor of the building. They're going to want HR departments to be the shock troops of wokeism, and they're going to get it. They're going to pass federal legislation and executive orders that create these new concepts around equity. You know what equity is? We tell people what they get, and we tell other people what they don't get based on ethnicity, gender, skin color, you name it. That's right. That's what we're definitely heading for. Never mind, of course, the likelihood here that we may have a major challenge facing a Biden administration that has Joe Biden in charge. This guy just isn't up for the job. And I know that he won, or, you know, I know that he's president and he's not up for the job. So what does that mean? Make note now of how journalists and the corporate media will sneer. They will sneer at anyone who even raises the prospect of Kamala Harris taking over for Joe Biden. And yet I think we all understand that there's a very serious possibility just based on age. This isn't some outlandish theory. I mean, the guy's going to be 80 by the midterms. So we're going to have somebody who's getting into his early and then mid 80s, especially if he goes into a second term. Come on. No, Kamala at some point just gets to be president. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that a fascinating way for this to continue on. So I think that we have to just take a moment here, take a breather, and recognize that we are going to be dealing with a very emboldened and aggressive Democrat left now. And they could, you know, they have an opportunity here. It's all been set up. And the president really alluded to this in his closing remarks, with the vaccines already being distributed, with the worst of winter now pretty much behind us. We're going to be entering a phase here where things could be really good for the country. You have the reopening, you have the return of basic freedoms. But no, what you're going to get is more mask mania, lockdown demands, and then only on their timetable and their schedule, only when the Democrats say so, can you start to have some aspects of your life back. They like this control. Oh, and they're going to reassert it for other things too. You don't think that they believe that climate emergency is enough to violate the Constitution? You don't think they believe that there will be ways for them to expand on the dictatorial powers that Democrat governors like Cuomo and Newsom have taken into their hands here because of an emergency? But you think this is the only emergency? Just wait till they declare a gun violence emergency, and they say there's a mandatory statewide buyback in effect for certain weapons. Too extreme, you say? Mm-mm. No, it is not. Can't say it's too extreme when Democrats are running around telling everybody that they needed to make sure that the National Guard that was assigned to guard the Biden inauguration, 27,000 or so of them, needed to be vetted for pro-Trump sympathies, as if that's equivalent to Al-Qaeda jihadism, right? The ideology of a global jihad being waged for the creation of a caliphate to dominate all peoples, all religions for all time. Yeah, being a Trump supporter is just like that. Here's D.C.'s Mayor Bowser, who's totally on board. This is the mayor of Washington, D.C., totally on board. But yeah, we got to make sure there was nobody in the National Guard who, you know, too much of a Trump supporter, too much of a Trump radical. Play four.
When you have guardsmen and women coming from all over the country at this time, I do think that it is prudent to make sure that they are being vetted, and that anybody who cannot pledge allegiance to their mission, and may be pulled by other views, needs not only to be removed from this duty, they need to be removed from the Guard.
Kicked out of the military. For now, you could say, oh no, they would only do this if you were a real extremist plotting violence. You believe that? You think that they're going to let bygones be bygones now? You got a lot of hashtag MAGA up on your Facebook page? May want to give that one a second thought. You got a lot of Trump photos and Trump paraphernalia all over your social media accounts or your office cubicle, for that matter. Democrats want you to know they're not forgetting this one. But I'm not forgetting it either. We remember who we are, what we stand for, and what we're trying to do for this country. And that doesn't change because of one election cycle. It doesn't change because of the departure of one politician from office. Our fight continues on. We may have to play some defense for a while, but it will only be a while.
You're listening to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My fear is that if Republicans, particularly Republican leadership, goes along with this impeachment, they'll destroy the party. And so I think it's a huge mistake. I think it's a hugely partisan exercise on the part of the Democrats. But for Republicans who go along with it, I think they'll destroy our party. Donald Trump isn't everything in the party, but he did bring a lot of people to the party. And I think it's a huge mistake for people to say, oh, well, we're just going to impeach him and that all of the blue collar workers that he brought to our party are going to stay. No, I think quite a few of them will be unhappy. So I hope our leadership will think twice about these undercurrents and rumblings about them actually voting for impeachment. I sure hope it doesn't happen.
It's a disaster if they do that. Republicans should absolutely not. Joe Biden is now president. Why are we even, why is there even a conversation about continuing in the Congress to take punitive action against a now ex-president? What is the point of this? What does it serve? Oh, to allow for a cleansing of the Republican Party? Right. They have to get rid of the moral rot, as one late night alleged comedian says. They have to make sure that should we be taking advice about our party, about the Republican Party, from the likes of Harry Reid? Here he is, 16.
Of all things, working with McConnell the many years I have, he can be accused of a lot of things, but one of them, he's not done. And I think he realizes that Trump is a drag on the Republican Party. And I think that that was the opening salvo for Mitch McConnell to disengage from Trump, to try to reestablish, rebrand the Republican Party.
Trump is a drag on the Republican Party, according to Harry Reid, which means you definitely don't want to impeach this guy and go through that whole removal process so that he can never be in office again, you know, if the Senate has this trial. This is wrong on so many levels, but I always tell you, don't take advice from your enemies. Don't do what they want you to do. And this right now is a perfect example of a situation like that. It would be absurd, absolutely absurd at this stage to do it. It's also unconstitutional. It's also just unnecessarily divisive within our own party. Trump is gone. He left. Okay, they didn't have to send in SWAT teams to the Oval Office to drag him out or anything. All that crazy crap that people were saying, that didn't happen. He's gone. He left the Oval Office. All right. Well, now what? We're going to repudiate everything? Yeah, the Trump presidency wasn't perfect. No presidency is. And in the end, yes, I got mad. I was angry at this administration for what happened after the election. I will admit that I was and am very annoyed about what they did and what went on. I'm talking about from the administration. I'm not talking about the actual rioters. I've already spoken about that. But the first 3 years of the Trump presidency were in a lot of ways just great. Very good policymaking decisions, good on trade, good on the border, good on immigration. You go down the list of all of Trump's accomplishments, the things that were done, some excellent judicial picks, a lot of excellent judicial picks, and of course, a number that went to the Supreme Court, Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett. ACB may end up being one of the greatest things that Trump even got done. Kavanaugh, perhaps not as much, although I still hold to this day that the Kavanaugh hearings and what the Democrats, including Vice President Kamala Harris, did to Brett Kavanaugh was a moment of clarity, a moment of recognition for millions of conservatives across the country. Well, a lot more people are going to be getting the Kavanaugh treatment now. Make no mistake about it. Many more people are going to be attacked, maligned, slandered, deplatformed, canceled, you name it. This is unfortunately now the kind of political climate. This is a consequence of our elections. Now the Democrats, when they win, think that they have a free hand to punish people for their wrong ideas. It's not enough to be able to enact the policies that they want. They want to be able to humiliate, control, and force the other side into submission. And then maybe we can have a conversation. And then maybe we could have a discussion about unity again, right? First, there has to go through this period, perhaps a year or two of it, you know, up until the midterms, of removing all remnants of Trumpism from not just politics, but public discourse, everything. You're going to see, if you've already had some of this, you're going to see stores and places say, we're not going to sell MAGA gear. I mean, they're going to try to treat anything that is directly affiliated with Trump as some kind of hate symbol. That they have to expunge it in their minds from the culture. So we're the ones who have to say, no, you can't do that. This isn't the Soviet Union, libs, even though you've won this election.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go like, how do I detach from this idea of is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're in the Freedom Hut. Thanks for listening to the Buck Sexton Show podcast. Get the latest from Buck at BuckSexton.com.
Where we go from here? What's next for the GOP, for the Republican Party faithful, the base, and everything around it, everyone in between? Let's get to our friend Rob Smith now. He is a veteran, an author, and contributor to The First TV. Rob, how are you feeling today?
I'm good, man. I'm good. How about yourself?
I mean, I'm disappointed for the country, but I also understand that we're going to get through this. It'll be all right. I hate the phrase, it's not the end of the world, but it really isn't. But let's get more constructive than that. I mean, first off, what were your feelings about this presidency on its last day has now happened? I mean, it is now ex-President Trump. What's your feeling about the 4 years? I feel like we should start to have a conversation about what really happened here, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah. So, look, I did an episode of my podcast that launches this week. It's basically called We All Need to End Our Obsession with President Trump. And I think that how we move forward as a GOP, and when we think about really what this administration was in the past 4 years, there have been a lot of amazing things that happened. We got the best economy that at one point the world had ever seen. We had criminal justice reform. We had cutting through red tape. We had basically a vaccine for a deadly virus that crippled the world in less than a year. Like, these are some really, really amazing things. And I think that as we look back at this presidency, we can see some really great things that happened in terms of policies. Like, the policies were great. In terms of arguing with no-name reporters, in terms of some of the tweets, in terms of some of the kind of nonstop controversies, I think that we all got a little over that towards the end. But I think that this is not so much, I think President Trump had a lot to do with it. But it was also, I mean, he was just frustrated by battling a media industry, an entertainment industry. So many people were against him. And I think that's where all of that stuff came from. But I think in order for us to move forward as conservatives, as a Republican Party, I think that a lot of us have to get over this obsession with President Trump. And by that, I mean to make one person be the entirety of all of our political hopes or all of our political dreams or basically the political future of the Republican Party is very short-sighted. I think that a very strong thing that he said during his farewell address was that we built this movement. He kept on saying we. And I thought that was very strategic and that was amazing because it is going to be up to we the people, whether you're a part of the MAGA movement, whether you're just a mainstream conservative, whether you're an independent or libertarian who just so happens to be attracted to conservative policies. It's going to be up to us to take the mantle from here on out. And I think that this now official Biden presidency is going to give a lot of us opportunities to say, look, guys, this is what you wanted, and we are going to show you why these policies don't work, because unfortunately, we are going to see over the next 4 years in real time why left Democratic policies do not work.
Rob, where do you come down on the debate over whether Biden is going to be a moderating force within the Democratic Party? I don't think it's fair to call him a moderate because the Democrat Party is not in any way a centrist party anymore. But do you think that he'll be because essentially he got elected because he didn't frighten certain voters who would be uncomfortable voting for, say, an open socialist. Right. That was really the pitch. He's been around forever. And so he was non-threatening in a sense. But there is a very radical left, not fringe, but now I think we could say vanguard in the Democrat Party. Do you think that they're going to have Joe Biden as a moderating influence on their desires, or is he just going to be a pass through for what they want, essentially?
Look, I think he's going to be a pass through for what they want. And I think that he's not going to stop any of this rhetoric that's coming from these far left. And I can't even say far left media personalities or whatever, because these are congressmen and women that are saying some pretty insane things. Joe Biden's not going to stop them. He's not going to be a moderating force to this, because what it is that the left flank of the party sees blood in the water. He may not repeat some of the stuff, but he's not going to stop them from saying it. And I don't think that he's going to be a very moderating force at all. I think that there are a lot of people that get a lot of attention via what they say on Twitter and what they say on social media. Look at AOC, look at Cori Bush, look at Jamal Bowman, look at all of these people. They're very, very far left. And Joe Biden is a pretty weak leader. As a matter of fact, he failed the first test as a leader of the Democrat Party in order to moderate people when he failed to really speak up forcefully about the riots that left America in flames over the past summer that were started by people on the left and that were cheerleaded by the now Vice President Kamala Harris. So is he going to be a moderating force? No, just absolutely not. He's too weak of a leader to be a moderating force.
Speaking of Rob Smith, he is a veteran, author, and First TV contributor. Rob, you were somebody who I think perhaps celebrated MAGA culture, is fair to say, right? I mean, you never walked away from that. You were very, very popular among the MAGA folks out there. And what do you know, one thing that I will say about Trump that I felt never really got enough attention was that there were young people. There were people in their 20s and 30s who felt like, you know, they could go and wear a MAGA hat and that there was a culture around Trump. There was a kind of a kind of political, a political celebration of day-to-day life that he was a part of. Do you think that continues in any way? I mean, because the Republican Party brand before him was much more, you know, old, stodgy, white males who play golf and, you know, work in corporate jobs, right? That's the stereotype, or you know, there's another one for different parts of the country, but you know what I'm saying. I mean, there's kind of this, you look at the leadership, you know, Bush and Cheney and McCain and Romney, these are not guys that inspire memes in a positive way. Do you think that continues now with Trump, even though he's not in office?
I really do think that it continues with the MAGA movement, because you have to look at the types of people that were brought into this. People like me, and I make no bones about the fact that I've obviously risen to prominence in the past couple of years due to large part of my support for President Trump. and sort of being embraced by the MAGA movement, which I will never turn my back on because I know what it stands for and I believe in what it stands for. And I think that a lot of the people that have come to prominence that are a part of this movement, that are creators, people that are entertaining, people that can do different things. Like, I can, you know, be here and speak to you about politics, then I can go do a TikTok challenge. And what Trump did was he brought this energy, and it's almost kind of like an entertainment culture-esque energy into the party. And I think that the challenge for the party right now, and this is what the Democrat Party is amazing at, partially because they have the backing of the entire, you know, Hollywood media, music, and entertainment industry. But it behooves us as Republicans to say, okay, you've got, you know, the old school mainstream, you know, Republicans, the Romneys and all those. But then you've got those of us that are out here actually creating our own culture on social media, on the internet. Sometimes, you know, people like me that pop back and forth between television. But you have to bring these things together and make them a unified movement. And I think that there is no candidate for president that's a Republican in the future. There is no candidate for Congress in the future that does not go through the MAGA base. So I think that it's very important to continue engaging that base.
How worried are you, Rob, about the wave of not just, I think it even will go beyond cancellation. I think we're going to see a public-private partnership of idea suppression, right? So it's one thing,
yes.
You know, cancellation is what happens to you for the wrong ideas. They're going to now go even further up the source, if you will. They're going to go further up the chain and prevent people from even being able to share these ideas. Oh, and if you try, you will be canceled. What do you see happening, and how do people like you and me and others listening to this prepare for that?
I think that, honestly, in my opinion, it's going to get worse before it gets better. And one critique that I do have of the administration is that there was ample opportunity to really do something about this, and it never happened. So that is a really big failing on the part of the outgoing administration. But I do think that it's going to get worse. How do we prepare for it? I mean, I personally always wanted to make sure that I'm out there in different places than Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Who knows how long those platforms will still be available to me. And I think that for the people who fear this cancel culture mob, who fear more suppression of ideas, what we have to do is we have to start leaning on the people that we've elected, the people that we will continue to put in office in the future, is to do something about this. Don't just talk about it. Don't just tweet about it. Actually do something about it. And we have to start calling out the people in power that are, you know, being lobbied by Facebook, by Twitter, by Instagram, by all of these different places in order to kind of keep the status quo. So I don't think that a Republican is going to get elected congressman or even president in the future if they don't have a really strong stance against this kind of censorship and an idea about what to do about it. But I have to say, and I say this a lot on the Rob Smith is Problematic podcast as well, is that it's going to have to take sane voices on the left, too. Even some liberals realize that this kind of suppression and this kind of clamping down on free speech is not good, because some of them realize that the pendulum can very easily shift in their way as well. So I think that it's going to take a lot of thinking people who really are advocates for free speech on the right and the left to come together and to fix this. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Google, these things are too big and they need to be broken up.
Now, we don't have control not only of the presidency, but of the House or the Senate. What do you think of calls to try to organize at the state and local level where possible to try to create, I guess you could say, bulwarks of liberty against the encroachment of the federal government where possible, where that's a lawful option, or also just to begin to create, you know, we're starting to see outflow from blue areas, New York being one of them, down to Florida. You're seeing people leave California. A lot of them are conservatives, and maybe this great blue-red sorting that is going on right now, of which I may become a part at some point myself, to be honest with you, in the pretty near future, that this also raises opportunities.
You know, it really does. And I really agree with the fact that people have to start you know, operating on the local level as well. I'm a defector. I left New York and I went, came down here to Florida. I'm in Florida. It's absolutely amazing. But what we really have to do is we have to make sure that when people are fleeing these blue states and coming to red states, that we are keeping these states red. And I think in absence of any kind of majority in the House, but I do think we'll get it back in 2022. But I really do think that we have to start thinking in terms of that. And I like this word that you use, this sort of like bulwark against what's the encroachment of the federal government, because me living in Florida with the great Governor Ron DeSantis in Florida, I feel a part of the reason why I'm not as fatalistic as some other people is because I live in Florida and it is a great place to live. And I'm going to work to keep it a great place to live.
Right. There are still the genius of the founders is that we have a constitution that we know Democrats will try to shred at many opportunities, but we still have it. And we have states and state responsibilities. So there are options here to try to pursue a more, shall we say, capitalist and liberty based future for individuals and for families out there who are listening to this while staying in the United States. I'm not advocating. I'm not some crybaby lib who's going to say we should all move to New Zealand or Canada or whatever. No, there are ways to stay here in this country. There is the fight, the political fight that's worth having. And I just wanted to know if you have some, you know, what are your words of encouragement? This is a tough day for a lot of people, Rob. A lot of people listening to this are having a rough one. And I'm also I've been psychologically preparing for it, quite honestly, since I'd say a couple of weeks after the election when I felt like these legal challenges were very remote in the probability of success. For a lot of other people, though, this really stings. What are your, you know, what's your halftime coach speech for, you know, there are better times ahead for America?
You know, I mean, that said, there are better times ahead for America. But look, the thing about it is that when you love this country and you believe in this country, you got to love it and believe in it no matter what. And if you are somebody that's out there that's feeling discouraged or kind of like overwhelmed by all of this, I would say use this fire to think about how you can get involved to change things. The great thing about this MAGA movement is that so many people got involved that were not involved before. But think about how, if you're a conservative and you have conservative leaning principles or Republican principles or whatever, how you can get involved in the local level, how you can do things that are a little bit different. I know me personally, I'm involved in this way. I do a lot of political commentary, but I think that we have a cultural deficit with conservatives, and I'm focusing a little bit of my energy on doing culture stuff. So I think that we all have something to offer. Do not be defeated. Do not give up. Never, ever quit. Dust yourself off, lick your wounds, and think about your next steps towards positively impacting our great nation.
Rob Smith from the First TV. My man, always good to see you. Better days ahead for both of us. We'll talk soon.
Absolutely. Thanks, Buck.
Born from the tragedy of 9/11, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation has supported our nation's heroes and their families ever since. Heroes like Marine Corps Sergeant Adam Mayo. He served our nation for over 7 years before he was severely injured during training. He was left paralyzed from the chest down, severely limiting his ability to move around his home independently. Tunnel to Towers paid Sergeant Mayo's mortgage, removing a financial burden for him and his family. The foundation gave him a specially adapted smart home designed for his specific needs. Tunnel to Towers helps severely injured service members and first responders, as well as Gold Star families and the families of fallen first responders. It has already come to the aid of so many heroes and their families by providing mortgage-free homes. The foundation is also committed to eradicating veteran homelessness. Join Tunnel to Towers on its mission to do good. 95 cents of every dollar goes directly to their programs. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2t.org. If you are an accredited investor, U.S. oil and gas should be part of your investment portfolio. Visit LabradorEnergy.com. Beyond the possibility to invest in a sector that historically delivers sound returns, when you invest with Labrador Energy, you may be able to structure your investment to offset active or passive income. According to many sources, U.S. oil and gas drilling remains one of the best tax-advantaged income investments available. Visit LabradorEnergy.com. You may be able to reduce your tax liability while investing in a sector that has historically delivered sound returns. Learn more at LabradorEnergy.com today.
Offer for accredited investors only. Past performance is no indication of future results. Investing involves risk. Consult your legal, tax, and financial advisors and read the prospectus before making any investment decisions. Visit LabradorEnergy.com for the prospectus and more information.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.